to the Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk.
Hello.
And Holly Anderson, running the ones and twos. Michael Serber, working behind the scenes. He's not behind the scenes. He's right here. He can hear and see everything we're doing. He talks whenever he wants.
That's not what behind the scenes means.
I know.
People behind the scenes also can hear and see what's going on.
It's an inline contradiction.
Whatever. Well, I think Server is technically behind the scenes. We're all behind the scenes.
What's the scenes?
The podcast, the audio file, the MP3.
The visual no one can see. That is the Shutdown Full Cast.
No one can see that you're nude, Ryan. Again.
God, you always have your shirt off.
Speaking of which, I'm glad we started off with this. I don't mean to... We're all longtime friends and emotional cripples here, and I don't mean to titillate you gentlemen. If I did, I would have brought like pictures of battleships or stories about orcs.
Yes, the USS Wichita destroyer, please.
But something's happening to me.
Okay.
Have y'all ever like thrashed so much in your sleep that you like thrash your pajamas off your body?
Thrash as in
tossing and turning and not being able to sleep real well. And
I've tied myself up like in the sheets and stuff, right? So like,
okay,
yeah,
okay,
I've entangled.
I'm so having you kind became, of a reverse that
yeah mm-hmm. Spencer became more clothed.
He kind of reversed that, so it's a 9 month summer scenario here. I sleep in generally like a tank top and like shorts, right? And the shorts will stay put, but like two nights out of the last 2 weeks, I have woken up with like one arm completely out of my shirt and my shirt just dangling from my neck. What am I doing?
Like a child who didn't know how to
get dressed. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. In my sleep.
I think you're just...
What's happening here?
I think you're McConaughey.
Okay. Like I just barely got back into bed before I woke up.
The shirt's just flying off. Yeah. Okay.
This tank top thing, this is an old school wrestling move for when you really mean business. One strap leaves the shoulder. So it could be that you're just dreaming about wrestling. Who wouldn't be? It's WrestleMania week.
WrestleMania week.
I knew that you guys would have an answer. Okay, thank you. Carry on with the show.
I think it's possible that you're you have a specific form of sleep apnea in which you pee Pablo while you sleep.
Oh, see, all these answers are satisfactory. This is why I come to y'all.
Is this the basis of an entire P.D. Pablo, like, psychological universe? If so, I am here for it.
Sleepy Pablo.
Sleepy Pablo.
Yeah. I do also sleep with my hands flung up above my head like a baby.
Mm-hmm. You're just shouting out North Carolina in your sleep.
Like, what if you went in for a sleep study and it was like, all right, this is Dr. Peter Pablo. He'll be he'll be watching you sleep.
They come back with the file footage in the morning and it's just a music video.
That's right. That's right.
This is your surgeon, Pimp C. I'll be like, I'm in such good hands.
That would be kind of a nightmare. This is one of those tropes that I fully don't believe happens in real life. If this has ever happened to you, I don't want to hear about it. Don't correct me, but this would be a nightmare for one of those sitcom scenarios where you like call out another person's name in your sleep. Like, oh, Trina, Monica, Edwina.
DMX's entire verse of names.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I'm just, like, sleep communing with DMX. That's what's happening.
I did the opposite. I caught Amari in my sleep. I just roll around the room acquiring.
And just acquired items?
Yeah, acquire items.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever woken up with that's affixed to your person?
The weirdest thing I've... Well, I fall asleep with stuff in my pockets because I really do sometimes just toddle through the night trying to get things done because I'm behind, and then I will fall into bed. Like fall into bed.
I don't think any of us has a problem believing that.
Yeah, and there'll be stuff in my pockets. And one time I fell asleep.
You sleep in pants?
Yeah, wait a second.
No.
Like with a waistband and pockets?
Jeans? I have fallen asleep in my pants before because I've just been like, I do what a child does, which is, you know.
No, I do what a child does. We've been over. Okay.
There's different.
That's my thing. You can't have it.
Spencer, get to the part where you wake up with ham in your pocket.
This man's fallen asleep with an entire video game inventory.
This is like a Cokesbury Methodist children's book, ham in his pockets. The story of Preacher John.
You have to unequip shield first, Spencer.
Yeah.
Green herb. What do I do with this?
I have dubious food and a stick. Why am I still carrying a stick?
How often are you falling asleep wearing shorts and or pants? I don't know why I said and, but maybe you are wearing shorts and pants, frankly.
In season?
About what does in season mean?
Which season? There
well, like during the football season. You know, when you're busy, you're busiest, right?
Okay.
When I'm ripe is what he means.
Yes, in season, when I'm... When it's mating
Spencer
season.
Hunting season.
Oh, yeah. When I detach from the stem. When I detach from the stem with a gentle twist.
I'm going to make this worse, Ryan. You steered it here. When I'm in the rut.
Oh,
yes. And then you have like all sorts of romantic items in
the
your
Spencer.
Pockets.
Mm-hmm. Spencer will stuff items into his pockets to appear bigger to a potential
items of romance.
So I fell asleep with my cargs on, an entire bottle of champagne in my side holster.
I'm like just a handful of Taco Supreme flavored sunflower seeds. Who is this supposed to woo?
I am like a dancing bird that assembles a nest, but just with unarranged items, right? Like maybe she'll be impressed if I have a grape job sticker in my pocket from my kids, you know, presentation they did, right?
If I have incredible tail plumage.
If I do,
so I keep that in my pocket in case I need
to fix
it.
His cargo shorts are loaded with crap. He must be wealthy.
Basically,
important.
Your beard is like a frilled lizard's crest.
That's correct.
That also attracts items.
No, the weirdest thing I have ever woken up with in my pocket was an entire... So I just fell asleep with like a bottle of water in my pocket.
Wait.
Was the lid on?
In the bottle? Why are you carrying it in your pants?
Well, because, you know, you're running around the house.
No, I don't. Okay, I don't.
So,
that's why I'm asking.
You know, you put the kids to bed and you're trying to get everything done. And there's just like a half-consumed bottle of like, you know, Aquafina or whatever. And
gross.
I put it in my pocket.
At least he didn't say Dasani.
Yeah.
And I'm relaxing and laying down for the 5 minutes before I fall asleep. Because, Ryan, you've discussed how you fall asleep in approximately 2 minutes, the minute that you lay down. That's me. I will fall asleep.
Okay.
Of like 2 minutes, and I was laying there and I was like, oh, I got a bottle of water in my pocket, and, you know, and immediately felt
it's the decision to get into bed in this state that is really throwing
that feels like something that you can't ever be unaware of in a pocket. Like that's voluminous, right?
You know, awareness is also on the sliders.
You're
some of us are at zero, some of us are at 100. And I woke up and of course, I had rolled over on it, and the lid had come undone, and I thought I had peed myself thanks to rolling over on the water bottle that I'd had in my pocket.
I think what I'm worried about is that you have such little sensory awareness, pants-wise, that you would be the easiest person to pickpocket.
Totally. I have been pickpocketed once.
Did it make you sleep better?
Worse. I can't sleep without my passport in my pocket.
What if I get
you know
thirsty?
Ryan, it's a good idea.
Spencer, where's your passport right now?
How am I supposed to fall asleep without $8 in euro coins?
How am I supposed to fall asleep without Spencer's passport?
Spencer, which pants are your passport in?
They are upstairs in the... Are they upstairs in my bedroom?
This is also...
How do you store your pants? Do you have one set pair of pants that contains all
he
others?
He doesn't need a method because he has like two
all?
Pairs of pants.
Yeah, I only have like three pairs of pants that I wear.
This is
that's why you wear them to sleep, because otherwise you'd have to put them away.
So one pair in each pocket, and then you have everything you own.
You know,
that's right.
You know, I gotta say, I thought I was gonna feel real weird revealing my sleep thing, and I feel
like Spencer's literally rolling around with pocket universes. Like,
just
you got pants inside pants.
Spencer as a one man band who just lies down and goes to sleep with like a fucking drum and cymbals and all this
shit. Just rolls over and it's like, don't.
And I just wake. I wake straight up like.
Yeah. This is a really good mouth trumpet.
Thank you. Right? I've fallen asleep.
No, the system isn't down. This is how it's supposed to work.
I've fallen asleep with my keys in my pocket, set off the car alarm in the middle of the night. That's a good one.
I've fallen
asleep with like the I've done the home alarm thing where like, you know, you have the like panic button. I've fallen asleep with that and hit that. And set off, you know, the alarm.
What sucks is that one day, hopefully you'll be like at a hotel or something. There's going to be a fire, and you're going to leap out of bed and be like, "Ha ha! I have everything I need. You fools in your pajamas."
Joke's on y'all.
Brian wishes hotel fires on Spencer.
Yeah, that's cool. When I jump out of this window on the 70th floor and die, I'll definitely
don't
crush
do
all
that.
Of the shit.
There
in my
are
pocket.
Other ways to get out.
Well, if you put something in your pocket to catch your fall, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's right.
Parachute
a throw pillow.
They're called parachute pants for a reason.
See?
Spencer, have you thought about investing in a third pair of pants that don't have pockets?
I'll look into it.
Serious question. Do men have pants that don't have pockets?
Yeah, for
some
like...
Some running shorts.
For like bullfighting.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Sure.
But
those two.
I can totally... Man, have you ever had a door handle catch in your pants pocket? Can you imagine if it was like a bullhorn? That's got to be the stupidest way to die as a bullfighter, right?
That'd be great, though. Like, I bet the bull
having
would
the
be
horn
like,
catch
oh,
in your
I, fucking, threaded that needle. Look at that.
Yeah.
Ryan, you said that I'm easy to pickpocket. The one time I did get pickpocketed was in Nepal. It was in Kathmandu. It was at a Nepal-India soccer match. I got my prescription sunglasses stolen. And when...
series of sentences that just got uttered.
Then meaning. They put them on and like, oh, sorry, these don't work for me.
That dude put them on and it was like the last 15 minutes of 2001, right? Like, to Jupiter and the infinite beyond.
Because these aren't just prescription sunglasses. These are your prescription
like this,
sunglasses.
This poor Nepali pickpocket got a brain tumor from looking straight into the center of the universe. Thanks to stealing. And only in one eye, too. He had to be like, this dude's so fucked up. Only one eye is terrible. Yep.
Your eyes are very
different
from
each
other.
I have one eye that's like 20, like, I don't know the three, you know, 1 to 5
astonishing,
scale,
yeah.
Right?
20-20 is best.
One eye is like 20-70. My right eye, it's like 20-70
nice.
Or 20-80.
That's a good score.
That's
and
your big 12
the left eye is like
24,000. 4,000.
Like that's your, that's your Cumberland, Georgia Tech eye. Yeah.
That is
you're basically Odin.
I am. See, the similarities.
Odin probably sleeps in pants, so. Or at least robes.
Yeah, when
you're
he's
trying to tell me
Odin
doesn't fall asleep with shit in his pockets? Please.
Yeah. That's true.
So maybe you simply sleep by hanging from a tree, and then it won't matter.
That's why it's called a pocket universe.
Mm-hmm.
You won't roll around on your keys and your bullhorn and your trombone and your...
I mean, if Odin rolls around on something in his pockets, like, universe is probably collapsed,
that
right?
Actually is thunder. That's where it... Yeah. That's where it started.
That's just Odin rolling around. Katamari Damacian in his bedroom.
Old sleepy Odin.
Old sleepy Odin.
Fire up the song.
I think the only weird sleep thing I do that I know of is when I am sleep deprived, then my body refuses to sleep. I'll go to sleep, and then the next day, Emily will report that I sat up and just started talking, which is so fucked up. I hate it. Like, and this is like if I've, you know, slept like 3 hours in several days or whatever, which it's been a long time since I've done that type of shit, but like... Mm-mm. It's just crazy. Like it's like my body's addicted to being awake. So like even while I'm asleep, I'm not asleep. It's pretty fucked up.
That kind of sounds vengeful on the part of your body. Like, oh, you want to stay awake, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh,
you
want to
stay awake so bad?
Awake.
Like your body is making you smoke the whole pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
You
cigarettes
could. I'm not reality. Telling you to do this, but if you want to make that your whole like Instagram health.
Like, I am telling you to do this because that sounds hilarious.
Yeah, if you want to sort of scam people on Instagram by being like, the secret to health is never sleeping.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll is wrong.
I guess I'll just say, like, if I ever say anything greatly problematic, I was asleep and I was dreaming that I was playing a character. So,
it worked for Roseanne.
That.
It'll be fine.
Is that what she said?
I think so.
Oh, that was that
one of her things.
Yeah, which one?
Thea,
which thing?
Sorry about my personality. I was tired.
Yeah, I was sleep deprived.
You say that, but that's basically what having a toddler is.
It's true.
I believe you.
That's also how toddlers themselves work.
To back up slightly, decided we should put pockets on baby clothes is a fucking monster. Like, this is just a place for, like, old Cheerios to hide.
That's exactly what they are. You know what thems are? Those are Cheerio Agent pouches.
Yeah, babies don't need hiding places.
Babies don't need pockets. Babies don't need pants pockets and be like, cool, now there are rocks in my house. Thanks.
But
this turns
like
little
rocks.
Babies. This turns babies into little Trappist monks, right? Like, ooh, I curate the Cheerios and age them carefully inside these pants.
fucking nonsense.
And then I sell them to tourists. And Ryan, you want to start? Like, just tell people around you it's pieces of the Shroud of Turin.
They're not toddlers. They're wise little seers. All of them.
This is toddlers St. Catherine's also turn- pinky.
This is St. Catherine's pinky.
That's it. Toddlers turn you into toddlers, though, because the sleep deprivation means that you have to sleep when the toddler sleeps and kind of act like the toddler does. You're like, wow, this thing is sleep deprived and grumpy. I too am sleep deprived and grumpy. It's eating Cheerios off the floor. I too just ate Cheerios off the floor.
No, I wouldn't say do that, Spencer.
Yeah, no, I've eaten Cheerios. That
come on. We've all been there. Come on.
No.
You know.
Totally normal activity. That
you have two
when
kids.
You fall asleep with a buzzsaw in your jeans pocket and you wake up and you eat Fruit Loops off the floor. It's so relatable.
Ryan, I don't think we've ever really like had a deep dive about this. How has shifting from the single childhood to the double pack?
It is exactly as like there are a lot of parts of having a kid that I think are maybe not overblown, but are not specific enough to situations, and all kids are different, and this, that, and the other. But like having
he's mobile now, right? He's highly mobile.
Yes. Yeah. Having and he's mobile in. He is the kind of mobile where if you sat my youngest in a room and you put 50 toys and one claw hammer, he would go. He would find the claw hammer and go straight for it. He is a magnet for trouble and. Danger.
The boy.
And that's what
that's
I live
pretty
with.
Badass.
It's pretty great. Yeah, I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah, welcome to having a boy. That's it. They're the ones who are like at the zoo, at the petting zoo, which animal will they pick? And they're like, ooh, porcupine. You're like, what's that doing in the petting zoo? You're like, it's here for the boys. They're crazy about him. Yeah. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna have moments where one child, your daughter, is going to be coloring peacefully. And having a lovely chat about aesthetic preferences that approach those of an adult's. And you're going to look over, and the boy is going to be sticking a fork in the electric socket and screaming poop. That's what boys do.
Sure. And you know what? We'll probably laugh is the problem.
Yeah, no, it's...
Like, I'm not going to laugh. I'm going to be worried, but I'm also going to laugh when that
happens. That's
a good bit. Yeah, I mean,
game respect game.
I've been workshopping this whole electrical outlet fork bit, Dad. What do you
I'm
think?
I'm sorry, son. This is tremendous content.
Sorry.
I mean, I did have
It's the way he plays with expectations when he says poop in a non-poop scenario that you're like,
we've
whoa.
Seen this whole thing a million times, but I had this
moment this past weekend when my younger son was on top of this very large kind of play apparatus, like about... Seriously, like probably about 9 feet in the air. And there's pads all around in this environment. Okay. It's like a climbing gym. So they have
thick
pads. And my elder son is up there and going, or my younger son is going, hey, I'm going off this thing. And I'm not feeling it totally. I'm like, hey, he's probably okay. The problem is that there's somebody in the co-pilot seat in my head who's going, that's so badass. Do it. I'm like, oh, you know, I mean, you might break an ankle. I'm like,
he might break both of them. Do it, dude. That's sick.
Because, see, you know, the problem here is that you have siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And your siblings have children. Like, you'll always be a dad, but you'll never not also be an uncle.
Yeah, no, I've got too much uncle DNA to me to not go, jump, do it. It's awesome.
This voice is I don't know.
Yeah, that was terrifying. I loved it.
It's real and it's terrifying, and you're gonna hear it for the rest of your life. Well, whenever your
that's the voice
like
that falls asleep with pants on. That voice.
That's the voice whenever you roll over onto a water bottle. That's just Spencer's Jode anthem. Yeah. Whenever you roll over onto a water bottle in your sleep.
I told you about stealing my sister's car, right?
What?
Okay. So, in case you wonder, like, where the uncle DNA takes over, my sister will sometimes pull up to my mom's house, and she'll just leave the keys in the passenger seat with the
car
running.
Like a UPS driver.
Yeah, no, she'll just straight up run like she's an Amazon driver, because she, like me, does that thing where I imagine she falls asleep in her pants at the end of the night, just trying to get everything done. And she pulled up, dropped it off, and I'm looking at it, and I have lived in large cities. You don't do this in large cities because that's a good way to give someone a free car. And you just walk up, drive off with it. I don't do it. She lives in the Nashville metropolitan area. She does not necessarily think, you know, oh, I should do that. She's like, everything's fine here. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm looking and I'm like, oh, free car. Be funny if I stole it. But my son is with me. So what do you do?
When Wait, this was as an adult.
This was last month. So
okay.
This was last month.
This is not where I thought this was going.
So I'm sitting there with my younger son.
Have I told you all about the time I stole my sister's car 3 podcasts ago?
Yeah.
So them hall boys are at it again.
So Al Spencer going to get himself out of this bucket of syrup. Squank, bang, bang, bang,
bang. So I had to look at my younger son, and I said, hey, we're going to go for a drive. And he goes, why? And I was going to go, well, we're going to steal your aunt's car. And my younger son's like, we can't steal aunt, you know, we can't steal her car. And I'm like, we're not really stealing it. And the longer we wait, the
property okay, raising real. Arizona.
She'll come back. Right. So we're just going to pretend to steal her car. And he's like, okay. So we get there and we drive off, and I get to sit at the far end of the parking lot and watch her do the like, where'd my car go? And I will tell you, completely worth that moment, by the way.
At any point, did you look over at your child and be like, I might be teaching him the wrong thing right
nope.
now? At any point, okay, nope. We did have a discussion about how this isn't, you know, this is a goof,
Yeah, we were very clear that this was a joke.
They're going to do this to you.
So you taught him that this is, oh, absolutely.
It's crazy that boys end up putting things into electric sockets. I don't know why that happens.
Yeah.
Where do they get these ideas?
Yeah. Same.
Your specific sons.
You can't, you can't avoid destiny, so don't even try.
Okay. Okay, sure.
He really is Odin.
No, you can't. Sorry. I watched Predator this weekend for the first time in a long time.
Was this
and
also
do you know who
son?
The one character who understood the entire mission, who understood the whole point? Billy. Because you know what
Not
Billy
Predator.
Does? Billy's like, they're like, we should fight the Predator. And he's like, we're all going to die. And he just takes out a knife and goes to fight the Predator alone. It's the only guy who understands the movie. Ryan, I had a Predator-based question.
I would argue that
question,
Predator
actually.
Understands the movie.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
I had a Predator-based question for you.
I agree with Holly, but go ahead.
So in the film, there is a scene where the woman who is part of the troop, right? The prisoner.
The one, taking, yes. That they when they raid the initial operation, they grab her. Yeah.
She goes to grab a gun, and Arnold, who has some sort of preternatural understanding of an alien hunter, right?
Yeah.
Says, no, don't pick up the gun. You don't have a weapon. You know, if it's not sport, it won't be fun for him, so don't do it. Does that mean that everybody could have just dropped guns, or by picking up a gun, had they already declared to the Predator that they were in play? Like, once you're in, you're in.
You're saying does the Predator play by Marcus of Queensbury rules?
Right. Like she would have said, I'm an eligible receiver by picking up the gun.
Yeah.
But, How does, like, could they have all dropped them at that point and been like, sorry, we're leaving it, we're not playing? Or is the Predator like, no, it's too late, motherfucker? No.
I think it's probably individual specific. Like, I think the Predator looks at Jesse Ventura and is like, gun or no gun, we're gonna fight. We're gonna fucking fight.
That's gotta be a familiar experience for him, at least.
Yeah. But like
oh, I've done it many times.
is Shane Black the
he
one
has
in the glasses
sounded
in
like
the
a
movies?
Wizard.
Yes.
Like, I think Shane Black's character, if he had just not ever picked up a gun, he would have been like, I don't know, you're the IT guy or some shit. I'm not going to hunt you. That's not fun. So I think it is very individual specific.
Yeah.
I also think, in canon, the Predator knows these are all actors. And I think that's true in Predator 2 as well. And that's why he's like, holy shit, Gary Busey?
We're gonna do a complete other show on this because I want to explore this.
I'm gonna behead Gary Busey. This is gonna the guys back of the ship are never gonna believe that I fucking met Gary Busey. This rules.
I gotta call my dad.
Predator, by the way, is a film.
Predator Parent Magazine.
Predator's like, shit, that's that. There's two governors in this movie. I gotta kill one.
Yep. Baby Predators would be cute as shit. Can you imagine?
Absolutely adorable.
I think you're right.
Like, just proportionally?
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Two little mandibles? Thank you. The noise does make them cuter.
It does.
I agree.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
Jason, this is WrestleMania week. What, like, I haven't even looked at, are we going to get like some more decent Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens versus the world kind of shit? Is that happening?
That's the main storyline, so yeah. That'll it's a two-night event these days. The first night's main event should be Sami and KO, currently the MVPs of the entire company, against the tag team that is debating whether to leave Roman Reigns' mafia or not. I would anticipate they will, but it'll be very satisfying for the Canadians to sort of coerce them out of the gang. And then the main event will be the son of Dusty Rhodes against Roman Reigns himself.
Jason, I've been out of the game for a bit. Handicap the current Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn feud against like their NXT feud, which I thought was one of the best things I've ever seen in wrestling.
I never watched a ton of NXT, but like, this is very much a culmination of their entire like real life and storyline story. Like, two lifelong best friends who look like the most underdog guys you can imagine. Like, neither of them looks like they have any business co-main eventing WrestleMania, and like, they are like a year after Sami got the incredible comedy match against Johnny Knoxville, and KO got to take Stone Cold Stunner in possibly Stone Cold's last match. So, like, guys who look like that, you know, having this like lifelong actual story to end up in that spot is it's pretty great. And that's your preview.
Thank you.
Kelly Bryant is trying out for WWE this week. Full cast listener Christina Long just wrote about that.
For a minute, I thought you were like, full cast listener Kelly Bryant. Like,
yeah, it's nice. And he's trying out for WWE. That is not the state of Carolina quarter, or either state of Carolina quarterback I would anticipate trying out for WWE first. The first is Stephen Garcia.
He's a father now, right? Didn't he just become a dad?
Oh, no.
I think he strikes me as more WCW. But
this is our parenting episode.
Parent your children so they don't become WCW stars. He is more WCW. Not even Ring of Honor, dare I say.
Oh, no. They work way too hard. No. Those guys do handshakes and shit. No, he's not into that. Yeah, no, we're going very, like, long, sweaty hair. Just weird matches where everyone agrees that, like, nah, we're not into the story. So we're just sort of leaving. We're just sort of winging it. That's your Stephen Garcia experience.
I did actually have one other item of business that I thought we had to cover as someone auditioning for a new field of interest, and that is that apparently the hardest, like, three hardest hitters alive. I know he's retired, but Brian Dawkins would be one.
Go Birds.
Right. Let's see. Joey Bosa is probably another one of the hardest hitters alive. And then I would go number three, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay.
Because
state your. Okay, we're continuing our Iron Man 3 theme. Okay.
We are continuing the Iron Man 3. Because Pepper Potts, as we know, packs a serious punch, especially when she's filled with that like weird Phoenix goo that makes soldiers explode.
Goop.
Right? I'm going to reference what Marina Hyde in The Guardian has called
Sorry, that took a second.
The Gwyneth Paltrow ski massacre trial.
If you guys aren't watching the clips, by the way, I still don't fully understand why this trial is happening, but I recommend just watching a clip of whenever it gets put on Twitter.
An optometrist named Terry Sanderson.
No, I don't want to know.
Has said that that Gwyneth Paltrow ran into him on a ski slope. And I quote, hit me as hard as anything ever. I've never been hit like that before.
Gwyneth Arakpo Paltrow.
Like, what is his experience with getting lit up? Like, I don't want to besmirch optometry, but it doesn't feel like one of the more higher contact professions.
It gets pretty rough.
Also, this is Deer Valley. This is a sedate-ass ski resort.
And that Gwyneth Paltrow in 2016 sent this dude, quote, absolutely flying, unquote, when she crashed into him.
Good for her. You know, just sight unseen.
Like she was Steve Atwater on Christian Okoye.
If you told me that Gwyneth Paltrow was like 500 pounds because she has like super dense cells, like she has neutrino star cells, I'd be like, yeah, that's some shit she did. She absolutely is like carrying around, like it's like, oh yeah, she's a Volvo of a person. Be like, yeah.
That's how she talks, like she's tired all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's an Instagram video where you can see she ate some weird shit, and now she is a star. Not that
slowly,
kind of star.
Slowly accumulating
it looks like,
more mass.
5'9" is what Google has her listing her height as. I'm just not seeing the. I mean, I guess density is hard to gauge. Like you're saying, it could be deceptive density.
Density plus downhill speed. Like you've got some velocity going there.
Like the Microsoft Windows ski free game, and she.
This is like taking a charge from Jimmer Fredette. You know, it's like, come on.
I mean, for millions of dollars.
It's not even that much money, though.
No,
he's only suing for like $400,000 or something.
My favorite part. She is counter suing him for $1, basically for being annoying.
Yes, yes.
Because when asked what she lost in the collision. She said, I lost half a day of skiing. I have sent you, by the way, the diagrams used in the actual trial, which I would like to hear your reaction to. Because to me, that does not look like a ski accident.
Wow. That looks something else entirely.
That looks very intimate.
So, definitely the first thing that...
So, Will, hopefully Spencer will tweet this out so people can see what we're talking about. My thing is this. What were the other... Because I assume this is a lawyer, but it could be a witness. But what were the other drawings like in this law office? They were like, oh, no, geez, Dave has to do it. And you're all terrible compared to Dave's recreation of the incident.
If you've seen any of these clips that have made it to Twitter of the opposing counsel attempting to cross-examine Gwyneth, it will explain a lot about the quality of these drawings.
The second drawing of this sequence is just a stick figure upside down.
Yeah.
It's not just a stick figure. It's a stick figure who has, like, a slice of toast for a torso.
Brian, did you ever have to draw shit in court?
No! It's not fucking scattergories or whatever.
Are these real?
We might almost wish otherwise.
This is
real.
Oh, my
God.
No, yeah.
I know this story is real. Are these images real?
Yes.
Yeah.
This third one? This computer-generated one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have absolutely no interest in this trial whatsoever, but I am fascinated by the proceedings in it.
There is a third image referenced that I will include with any descriptions and or tweets about this episode. That third image appears to be taken directly from one of those old Taiwanese news clips where it was kind
what
of shitty cartoonish CGI, right? And it looks like one of those, but with Gwyneth Paltrow and this optometrist tangled up in a frustrated pile on a Utah mountainside.
Been there.
Who among us has not? Yeah, I'm absolutely fascinated by this.
Nights
and also
in
by
Park City.
Yeah, also by Gwyneth Paltrow's apparent abilities as a ruthless free safety, capable of coming down, keeping the top on the defense, but bringing the hammer when necessary.
So I'm watching, there is a video that they played. This, the still of the computer animation was from a simulated video of reconstruction. So hopefully, there's a lawyer talking, but hopefully we get quickly to the point where this really builds up a head of steam. Let's the dude have it. Okay, here we go. Looks like they're crisscrossing as they go downhill. It's hard to tell who's who. They're not labeled. It's just a bunch of people in a herd all going downhill. Still no contact. Oh, so he gets distracted and looks away, and then
head on a swivel.
The video ends. I mean, it sounds like he wasn't paying attention and he got ran over. Like, if I'm the jury, that's my conclusion from that video.
So, on a ski slope, every ski slope, this is like a worldwide thing. You are responsible for everybody downhill from you,
yes,
basically, no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if it is, and also I would like to point out, more for comedic purposes than anything, because I love the idea of Gwyneth as a free safety, because she absolutely has the personality for it. Like, my mom is a very good skier and a sturdy lady, and she has been taken out on a ski slope by, like, a 3-year-old child who was going down out of control. Like, when you get up, you can get going pretty fast, and you can do a lot of damage to somebody. But all of that said, none of this, I don't feel like any of this matters compared to the goofs that we are getting from this trial.
The weirdest
thing, I would just like to point out that there are rules. I just don't think the rules matter at the moment, because everything else is funnier.
For $300,000, like, I don't know if that's worth going into the legal record as you saying, after your attorney going, after the crash, he's no longer charming. So Gwyneth Paltrow hit this dude hard enough to knock the charm out of him.
For $300,000? Yeah, let's get it done. That is not a problem.
This leads to Jason Kirk. This leads to my question: would you take a full-on, bone-shattering, generational talent hit
from Pepper Potts?
From Pepper Potts on a ski slope for $300,000?
Whatever needs to happen. Yeah.
Will it help or hurt? Will it help or hurt Gwyneth Paltrow's case if she shows up at WrestleMania?
Throw me off the top of the ladder. Who gives a fuck? Let's get it done.
If Gwyneth Paltrow shows up at WrestleMania in fucking ski outfit.
In a bib!
Skis down to the ring.
The United States of Pain America!
Oh no, she shows up only in the outfit, but goes underneath the ring and pulls out the skis then. Right?
Yeah, she's hitting with steel skis. Yeah.
Yeah.
By God!
Ironically,
you've been gooped.
His name is the Wasp.
Always has been.
Is Gwyneth Paltrow the least likely famous person to appear at WrestleMania?
She's up there.
She's definitely up there. Once you do a comic book movie, can you really get any sillier?
I hear you, but I feel like she would also still be like, "What is a WrestleMania?"
I think it's Wes Anderson is the least likely.
He's from Texas, though. You never know.
I would not at all be surprised if he is secretly a big fan.
Yeah, like a Wes Anderson wrestling movie.
All right,
don't
Paul,
lie.
Yes,
right,
no, I
Paul,
need
Paul
it.
Wes Anderson. Let's make.
I mean,
a terrible
it's yeah, for Paul 9-year olds, but probably shouldn't be watched by 9-year olds. It's perfect for Wes Anderson.
I bet Willem Dafoe could trick Wes Anderson into appearing at WrestleMania.
How do we know Willem Dafoe isn't at WrestleMania every year?
We don't.
He really might be.
We don't.
He'd be magnificent. No, I think the least likely celebrity to show up at WrestleMania, but the funniest one that you could definitely do a bit with would be Neil deGrasse Tyson, because he would come out. Oh my god! He would come out. Yeah, no, he'd come out and be like, "Actually, none of this is real," and they would hit him with the chair,
slammed with a chair.
Yeah, that would be pretty satisfying. Yeah,
thrown through a table.
Listen, everybody,
this is Pluto, which is a fucking planet, Neil.
I need him to do the "well, actually" tweets he does during the Super Bowl. Yeah, I need him to do that during like all fiction programming.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Look at this. Two Towers is on. Time to tell you about how Middle Earth's bullshit.
Actually, Earth's middle is made of magma. Or whatever. Whatever.
It's very unlikely that any man could be truly super. But no, like the wrestling thing would totally work because, you know, you could be like, "No, Neil, you really got hit by this folding table."
Shut up, nerd.
It's like such a classic wrestling thing.
But what if he did this and then like Neil deGrasse Tyson like went psycho mode and you were like, "Oh my god, he's an amazing wrestler. Holy shit.
No, this is all working because he actually was in college."
What?
He was a wrestler. No,
I'll show you a picture. Hold on.
I believe you. I just didn't know this. Dude,
I would love to hear him cut a heel promo. The first thing I'm going to need all of you to do is shut your stupid, ugly mouths. I'm the smartest person here.
He doesn't even need to do that. He can just be himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can just go out there and start, "Well, actually," and all that bullshit. And then the crowd is at a furious froth. And who comes down to save the day? Whapping him with the steel ski. It's Gwyneth Paltrow. She said, "Shut up, dork."
Yeah, so I just pasted the picture, and he was captain of his...
Damn!
He was captain of his high school wrestling team.
Although it's called a singlet, I did wear underwear.
And he...
It has two legs.
And he wrestled his senior year at Harvard, but he was also active in dance.
Although it's called high school, it was actually at sea level.
Stone Cold 316. Actually, that's not a verse in any Bible.
Actually, his body is room temperature.
Yeah. The Rock is only metaphorically cooking. It cannot have a smell, as rhetoric does not produce odor.
Actually, taste is what you mostly use to tell what The Rock is cooking.
Folding chair. See, there are so many good wrestling turns here, right? Smart guy. Fuck you, nerd.
And then Gwyneth decides to team up with him, and they fucking... Oh my god.
Oh,
Gwyneth's heel turn. I don't know. I think that tag team is headed for ruin once she starts, once she starts doing her pseudoscience
thing,
he's out.
That's true.
No, but...
I don't know. I think Gwyneth Paltrow's science might be so arcane. Neil deGrasse Tyson is perfectly useful if he's like, "Here's how, the universe works in astronomy and blah, blah, blah." But when Gwyneth's like, "Yo, what do you know about vagina rocks?" He's going to be like, "Oh, we did not study. I don't know. I need to do more research here."
Astrophysicists, they are pretty open to the extent of things that no one knows.
Right.
So this might just mystify him enough to get into his Because, if I listened to his podcast forever ago, and, he does have these moments where he's, open to the mysteries and things we don't know.
Right.
So, yeah, perhaps you could get him in that zone by, preaching the good word of vagina goop.
I do have the intro, though.
You said zone, and I was like, can you imagine feeding a pizone to Neil deGrasse Tyson and explaining the etymology of the term?
It's only a pal zone.
I have our intros to how they get in the ring together, though, because, and this is very, very WWE, Jason, this is more like trough era WWE, you know, when the writing staffs are trying anything to get a hook, right? So Neil deGrasse Tyson comes out and he goes, "It may seem like I am out of place here, but under the theory of quantum superposition, an object can either be observed or not observed and can be simultaneously alive and dead. For instance, take this box. I don't know what's in it." Somebody will go, "What's in the box?" And Gwyneth Paltrow pops out of it with the ski. Yeah.
And then two months later, Gwyneth Paltrow is all elite.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's her versus Iho DiVikingo. It's the best match I've ever seen, man.
I've never rooted harder for us to speak something into existence.
I love our WrestleMania previews.
Showing up at WrestleMania.
It really is our best national holiday, is WrestleMania. It's 2 days, right? Everyone can attend because it's on TV. A nerd's going to get beaten up, right? A bully will get thrown out of the ring. The universe will be in balance. This always happens.
Is Jake Paul going to be there?
No. The other one, who I regret to inform you, in case you aren't aware, he's fucking awesome at it.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he? Okay. Okay. No, I mean, it's better than being terrible. So.
No, it's in not, a way, because yeah. Because we wouldn't have to see him anymore.
Then no one would share it. Everyone would take a bathroom break during, you know, when and like you wouldn't see the clip if you're not going at it, you know. But him being awesome is like. People will share it onto your feed, whichever app you're on, and they will say, "I'm sorry, but you have to look at this."
Okay.
This is better. This is much more his speed than trying to box Team Tommy. Sorry.
Was that the brother? I can never keep track. There's two.
Okay, so we're ready to break this down. Yeah, let's go. This down. So yeah. Tyson Fury's brother Tommy Fury,
yes,
is a boxer, but more importantly, was a central figure in a recent season of UK Love Island.
Okay.
Became one of the bare handful of people to actually sustain a relationship after Love Island. And in fact, like the week of this boxing match with Logan Paul, his wife, whom he met on Love Island, gave birth to their first child. So in this house, this is where our rooting priorities lie.
Is that Molly May? Molly May.
Molly May.
Molly May.
Yeah.
So that's why he's extremely important to the Love Island hive, because not only is he a Love Island champion, he's a champion at life because he knocked out a Paul brother. I did want to end this, by the way, comment. There is one match in here that I know is just the tell Vince to shut up, we did it, right? Just the bait for him. They're doing Brock Lesnar versus Omos.
Mm-hmm. Former USF basketball player Omos, who is a legit 7'3", not a bullshit wrestling 7'3".
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In wrestling terms, he's 9'8".
Yeah, in wrestling terms, he's 700,000 pounds. They're doing this they're doing this match entirely so they have a clip to show of Brock Lesnar hurling the 700,000-pound man.
Yeah, but they're just doing that because at one point, addled old Vince is like, "I need size! Put giant men in!" And they're like, "Shut up. Put Brock Lesnar and Omos in there. Just put the most human you can put
the
in."
The hope, of course, is that at the end of this match, former Iowa defensive lineman Big E crashes. Big E, of course, who is the only person who loves big, meaty men slapping meat more than Vince McMahon does. So we need, and Big E's chest is probably bigger than all four of us combined, so we need this gentleman in the ring. Like, Big E's density might actually be a neutrino star. So.
Iowa football,
this
baby.
That's all we want.
You say
that's
we talk
Iowa
about
built.
Iowa football.
Yeah, that's right. That's a lot of Iowa strength program in that chest.
Like somebody was like, "Yes, we need to build the largest pectoral muscles ever." And they're like, "What does this have to do with football?" And they're like, "Shut up, nerd."
I don't know what it has to do with Iowa football. His kidneys both seem to still work.
Oh.
That press time.
Insert ad here.
I didn't mean to slow you down, buddy. Keep going.
Yeah.
Also, among other interests, we have former SEC track star Bianca Belair is in a title match against
Go Balls.
One of the current women's champs. And yeah. I would say it's probably even odds to remain so, but that should be one of the best matches. She's against Asuka, one of the best women's
wrestlers. Asuka, who's a god. Yeah, she's...
Asuka's gonna kill you.
Asuka's gonna kill you.
That's the best chant in WWE.
I can't even be mad. I love them both.
Its current
so much.
Competition is Rhea's gonna kill you. There are two women who just love killing people.
How long is WrestleMania going to be this year?
Holy fucking shit! It depends on what you mean by WrestleMania. If you mean the main broadcast,
Let's say the main broadcast.
You're looking at 8 to 10 hours because it's over two nights, right?
Right.
Plus you got pre-shows. Plus, you got NXT, their minor takeover league that is going on all afternoon, where the headliner, of course, former Kennesaw State Owl, son of Rick Steiner. And then, like, every other company also hits town for the weekend. So, like, and plus, you kind of have to count Friday Night SmackDown and Monday Night Raw, because, like, the Monday Raw after WrestleMania is, like, the biggest weeknight show of the year. And, like, that's when they do a lot of call-ups and they start setting up the whole next year's shit. And, like, the crowd is, like, completely drunk and hungover and just the wrestling term is going into business for itself. But, yeah, if you want to watch an hour of wrestling this week, you can do that. If you want to watch 40, you can do that. We will be out of town. I will be in a house with, like, so many nieces and nephews. I think at last count it's, like, 12 children. So we're probably going to have a rowdy weekend of watching as much wrestling as possible.
The best part is that one of the children will actually be like, can we watch some adult programming, please?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I know which one, too. Like, yeah, it's the mature middle schooler. She'll be like, shouldn't we watch a documentary about horses?
Go read a book! Go read this Neil deGrasse Tyson book!
Go learn about astrophysics!
Fight me now!
Get that shit out of here!
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Go ski about it!
Catch this Paltrow. Bang!
Goop!
Just some SoundCloud rapper is right now, as we speak, like hard hitting like Gwyneth Paltrow. Like somebody is writing that bar.
It's you.
Right now. It's me under my alias, yes.
Which is
Sleepy Goop. Pants. Logan. Sleepy Pants Hall.
Pocket Universe.
MC Pocket God.
Imagine getting in on the ski slopes by Spencer and his pants full of bullshit.
And coins fly out of his pants. Sonic
like
rings.
He's fucking Sonic.
You know that detritus after like a fender bender that's just there for a couple of days afterwards? That's what it looked like. You'd be like, wow, why is there half a bumper here?
Jesus, he had 8 licenses on him. What the fuck?
Well, he eats them like Jaws.
Man's pocket's like the inside of a Mako shark.
They call me Shark Pants. That's like the best thing. Like it's pretty guaranteed Method Man went by that for like 3 months.